back, everybody, to The Walking Dead, a Walking Naked podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Justin.
I am your other host, Kelly, and together we are the world's greatest mother and son Walking Dead podcast duo. Did I say the world already?
I think so.
I think we're in the double world.
I watch a lot of Flash. I think that we are the world's greatest mother and son podcast on Earth 1 and Earth 2.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right, Earth 2. We're coming for you. We're going to take over the podcast world. We're here to discuss our overall thoughts on Season 6, Episode 14, which was titled Twice as Far. This episode was written by somebody that I haven't seen write on The Walking Dead previously, Ulrich Reilly. Familiar with this person? Never heard. That's not a name that I'm familiar with at all, writing on the show.
So was this, I guess this must have been the first Walking Dead episode that this person has written, or do we just not remember him from before?
I don't know. I think that we need to look that up.
I think we should.
About that, because now I'm kind of curious who this cat is.
Well,
he was born in London.
I thought that was England. That was a super fancy name. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, Ulrich Reilly. Mm-hmm. Can't just go with Rick.
I like it, though.
Hello, Ulrich. My name is Ulrich. No, I do like it. I like it as well. Mm-hmm. And no, this is Ulrich's first episode writing on... did he direct the episode? He directed the episode. Yes, it's his first episode directing The Walking Dead. Looks like he's done lots and lots of TV, Once Upon a Time, Criminal Minds, Castle, one of your shows mm-hmm. that you love. Let's see if there's anything that I like that he's done.
You mean other than The Walking Dead?
Well, yeah. I mean, of course I love The Walking Dead, but I mean, come on. We got to see what else he's got going on.
The Fixer. Let's see.
Don't even know what that is. Revenge, Legends, NCIS.
Once Upon a Time. Did you already say that?
Yes, I said that. Is
Legends still on? I don't think it made it, did it?
Did Sean Bean die in that?
He must have. He dies in everything else.
That's why it didn't last, because he didn't die. Had he died in the first season, would have been a hit.
And I will say, he didn't die in the first episode. I think it was episode 9.
Way to spoil the show for everybody.
No, I'm talking about our conversation that we had about Game of Thrones that I embarrassed myself over the other podcast, and I did not remember,
but I got it right. Thank you, Robin, for clarifying that I indeed got it right and that Kelly was dead wrong. So,
well, that's because when I threw myself out there, it's been a while. Obviously, we've talked about a lot of TV shows. I've watched a lot of TV since then.
I'm deep in Daredevil right now.
And you were looking on IMDb and you're like,
I was not.
No, Mom. I think that was episode 9. I'm thinking like 33 minutes into the episode. That's how great my memory is.
33 minutes, 22 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I did not look at IMDb because I remember that episode very distinctly because it broke me.
Yeah, me too. It broke me,
and it just bent me, and it just it destroyed me, you know, for quite some time. Much like I think The Walking Dead is going to destroy us soon in 2 episodes. We don't have much time left.
Is it going to be 2 episodes? I think it's going to destroy us twice. I think this coming episode, because the penultimate...
Yes,
episode
ultimate
is always really rough on The Walking Dead, always, and we already know that Negan's going to show up in the final episode, so, or at least that's what we've been told.
The internet told me that. The internet tells us all.
Yes.
Okay, so a quick look back, let's see, in the penultimate episodes, we got Episode 15 in Season 4, which is entitled Us. That's when Rick ripped Joe and the Claimers' throat out.
Beautiful.
Beautiful episode.
Sexy, bloody Rick Grimes.
I do not remember Tri at all from last season. I don't think that... Well, let me see. Let's see what happened in Tri last year.
Why don't you try and find out?
I will try and find out right now. Okay, that's the episode that Rick went crazy And, you know, him and Pete got into the knockdown, drag-out fight and went through the window, and Michonne Cole cocked him in the back of the head. So, you know, that was a pretty intense episode, but I don't remember anybody
dying in that episode,
and I don't remember it being that violent. Now let's go back. Let's go way, way back, everybody, ladies and gentlemen.
And I think I'm thinking way back is the deal. This Sorrowful Life was in season 3.
That was old Merle and Daryl.
Yeah.
Okay, that was a rough one, people. Was a rough one.
And I want to discuss Daryl for just one second.
Do whatever you like. It's your show.
I don't even know what I was looking at, but it was, you know, Daryl in the beginning and Daryl now. And I realize we've discussed this, you know, but he doesn't even look like the same dude.
He does not.
And I mean, I'm not just saying, you know, just hair. He just doesn't look like the same guy.
No, he looks older, but it's not in like a, he looks older, like, damn, he looks older. I think he's aged well in over the last couple of years, where I think he looks better now. Do you or do you not?
I don't necessarily agree with that. I like the way he looks now, but I did love.
You love the fresh face, Daryl?
Yes, and the blonde hair and, you know, short where I can actually see his face. And his style of acting was so much different even.
Yeah.
You know, his facial expressions were completely different. Now, I would call him a kind of minimalistic in his acting.
For sure. He gets a lot of cross. Yeah, I mean, I think he gets a lot more impact with the reserved acting that he's doing now, as opposed to, I mean, the scene that I think about the most right off the top of my head from Daryl in season 1, whenever he gets into the little scuff with
Sleeper
Rick
hole,
and Shane.
Not legal.
Yeah, that ain't legal. That ain't legal. Yeah, that's what I, that for some reason, that scene is always, that's like just etched in my mind for Daryl.
I love that.
Yeah, it was a really great scene and funny that you got Daryl's sense of humor right there. We just don't get to see as much of it anymore. I mean, just like that in another scene in season one where, you know, they're at the table and he was always giving Glenn shit.
Yeah.
He doesn't give Glenn shit anymore. Really, does he?
No. I think it's like all of us.
Yeah.
Especially all of us that would, you know, be in the zombie apocalypse. You're so broke down. You know, it just seems like Daryl doesn't really find joy in anything anymore.
Not really. I guess they had a little bit of fun, him and Rick. The boys got back together and it seemed like they were having fun together. Chasing Jesus down.
Yeah.
That was a good old time.
Mm-hmm.
Did he get any zingers in this episode? Not really.
No.
He was just a little bit grumpy in this episode.
He was not a little. He was a lot grumpy.
Okay, yeah.
He was like an old crotchety bastard.
He was Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah.
It's like, I live in a fucking trash can. Gotta hate living in that trash can, Oscar. I'm sorry.
I don't know. People throw, you know, some amazing stuff into the trash.
Yeah, lots of monies.
You know, and I think all the good lines go to Abe and Eugene now.
I think so too.
They don't give Daryl any of the funny zingers.
Glenn neither.
Yeah.
He doesn't get any. And Glenn used to be pretty funny. I mean,
he's
one of the best lines of all time in The Walking Dead when he called Rick an asshole.
Yeah.
That was fabulous. And I wanted to say, by the way, raise your glass.
Okay.
You ready?
Uh-huh.
This is for you, Carl.
Yep.
We heard you loud and clear.
Yep.
We did not have the clinking glasses with the ice.
That's right. And I mixed a drink in your honor. Actually, Carl, I actually drink every time. I just don't talk about it. And that's just wrong, because that was one of the reasons we started podcasting in the first place, because we don't live in the same city.
No.
And we needed time to be able to, you know, spend together and have a reason to drink and chat. So,
I'll be completely honest with you, Carl. We were beaten down by life in the sense of lots of commenters saying, get to the damn Walking Dead already.
Yeah.
And do this and do that. And,
you know, and I think, and obviously we're here to talk about The Walking Dead, but we're also here because we want to enjoy ourselves and, yes, you know, have a fun, free-flowing conversation. So,
yeah, sometimes when you get on to talking a podcast, it just doesn't go the way that you want it. You know, you get on with the best intentions of saying, we are here to talk about The Walking Dead. But then you're like, well, I like The Walking Dead episode this week, but it didn't blow my socks off.
Yeah.
No drawers were blown off in this week's episode of The Walking Dead until the last 20 or 30 minutes. Well, no, the last 20 minutes.
And underwear, I will also say, there, I don't want to hear about it. There's a lot of podcasts out there that they are very matter of fact and they get straight to the point and they're a little more dry than we are.
I don't know if you could say they're a little bit more dry than us. We certainly try a little bit more. I would give them
dry. I don't
I would
mean
give
dry.
Us that. I would give
no, no,
us that.
I don't
that
mean dry. Dry's not bad. I just oh, mean no. I you know, you realize I'm saying not, I mean,
you mean
dry,
dry
as
in the sense that they actually
they're more matter of fact. They're not bullshitters like we are.
Yes, we are master bullshitters at The Walking Dead. We're like, what had happened on this episode? Well, they did.
All right, so I guess let's quit bullshitting and get to it. All right, so ask me.
What do you want me to ask you?
If I'm ready to do the top three.
Well, before we get to the top three.
Okay, but I want you to make sure and ask me that.
I'm going to ask you that. I'm ready for whatever sound bite you're going to give me because I don't know what you're talking about. Before we get into that, how many times have you watched this episode?
3.5.
Okay, I've watched it 3 times. So how do you feel about the episode having watched it that many times? Or how did you feel about it on the second viewing? I think that's a better judge. Did you like it more or less?
I liked it the same.
You liked it the same?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then
what about you?
And is the same good or bad? I can't remember.
Oh, no, I liked the episode the first time I watched it. I would say my rating this week is, if 5 stars.
Yeah.
Was the top?
No,
or bacon. Or bacon. Yes. But this week it's ponytails. So okay. I gave it 3.5 ponytails.
Okay. No, I think that's fair. I think I'm right there in the middle with, or actually, I think I'm right there with you. It's 3.5 ponytails is where I fall in this episode. The episode was so badass towards the back half, but so lackluster to me in the first half of the episode. Like, it just feels so weird to me that we got an episode like this because we've been on just such a roll with The Walking Dead. And damn it, if we didn't call it, at least we didn't see it on screen. But of course, Carol doesn't say shit that, hey, that asshole wasn't Negan. His name was Primo.
What the crap?
Walking Dead does this, and that annoys me so much. It just frustrates me.
Okay, this episode, I enjoyed the episode, and we can't have wall to wall action in every episode,
which I understand, and I'm fine with that.
No, I'm prefacing what I was going to say.
Okay.
But there were a lot of things in this episode that frustrated me as well, with the direction that we went with some of our characters. Like, why did we suddenly make Denise a dumbass? I realize, she wants to get out there, but she was stupid about her wanting to get out there.
Well, can I bring up something really quick from a listener since you talked about that? Because I completely agree with you. Evan had this to say. He said, this episode made me cringe a little. F and Denise should not have been allowed to logic her way beyond the walls of Alexandria without being inside of a heavily escorted armored vehicle. She was the closest person to being a doctor that Team Alexandria had. My ass, she needs to pick out the pharmaceuticals, show them where the place is, and they will bring everything available back, thus ensuring you don't end up with a crossbow bolt sticking out your eye hole.
Yeah. Yeah.
Completely agree. That's the damn doctor, people. You don't send House out there to get the medical supplies. You send some lackey to go get the medical supplies for House.
Right. And I didn't like the fact that, you know, they made Daryl very crotchety when they're really, Daryl and Rosita both were,
Does she do that on purpose?
I'm just like, she did it in the episode.
Dwight's
she did
like,
it...
what's your name? Hey, girl, what's your name?
Rosita. You know,
Rosita.
It's like, hey, my name is Rosita. You know, I mean, that's the only time she has any bit of a Latin flair to her accent at all. So,
yeah, I don't know. To me, it almost seems like an inside joke between her and like the cast members on the show, but maybe it's not. Maybe that, you know, she just really wants to get it out there, but sometimes it's just a little bit too much whenever she puts that super emphasis on it. But I did like the fact that Dwight at least acknowledged it and kind of joked about it.
Right. Flipped her little shit.
Yeah.
But I thought they were both a little too rough on Denise.
And each other.
And each other, yes. They were all just kind of mean. So that was frustrating. I'm not a fan of changing our characters up so drastically, as in, let's say, Carol.
Yes.
Suddenly she goes from being the biggest badass in the world to she's a puss and doesn't want to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
She's Morgan.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So, anyway.
Is she Morgan?
Why would she not be Morgan? Well, okay.
I think if she's... She doesn't
necessarily think all lives are super valuable. That's not why she doesn't want to kill anybody. She don't want to kill anybody because she can't do anymore. She feels like...
Yeah, that she knows that in order for her to stick around, she's going to have to kill for these people, but she can't kill anymore, which I understand that. And I understand, you know, I understand the fact that we get mad about our characters changing their philosophies all of a sudden, but I also understand that it's this is real world for these characters, and it's eventually...
I'm exactly the same every day. Every day.
You're the same every day?
Yes, I
so
never
So when your
change.
Boss comes in and takes a shit on your table...
I just smile and say, hey, thank you.
Thank you. May I have another?
Exactly.
Is that what you say every day?
Exactly.
I don't see that happening. I see one day you stabbing him.
Oh, yeah.
But I also see that one day you're like, ha, you're so funny. You're so funny. Just clean that up.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That joke never gets old.
Yeah, exactly.
You shitting on my desk. Yeah.
That's my favorite part of the day. Yeah. I mean, that's just some days we don't deal with it well. Like today, I did not deal with it well when my boss was messaging me about stupid shit. I was very honorary back to that person.
Mm.
Most of the time, I'm very nice. So I understand how, you know, people's
it sounds like
feelings
maybe
change.
Both of us are getting ready to get fired from our jobs.
I think so. So yeah. I think that if you happen to listen to us on this podcast, you know, if you just want to send us large unmarked bills, right? It's unmarked bills.
Unmarked. And they, you know what? They don't even have to be large. As our song says at the very end.
I need a dollar. Yeah,
exactly. Dollar is what I need.
It's pretty soon we're going to be podcasting from the bus stop.
Yes.
So, or the side of the street.
If we are like, where? No, McDonald's parking lot, because we can get the free Wi-Fi.
That's true. I forgot all about the free Wi-Fi. That's good to know. I'm gonna log that away in the old noggin.
Well, I told you about going to the McDonald's parking lot. This is about, I don't know, 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I wanted to watch Netflix on my phone while eating, because I don't want to go in.
No.
So I sat in my car and I was watching Netflix on my phone and I fell to sleep, and stupidly I had my car on so that it would do the Bluetooth through the, you know, the whole audio system.
Yes.
While I was watching, and I killed my battery in the McDonald's parking lot.
That's smooth right there.
It was smooth.
What were you watching?
I don't remember what I was watching.
If it's How the about if I just say that it's okay?
The Walking Dead or Daredevil. Let's just say.
Oh, there you go. Yes. Yeah. Speaking of Daredevil, shameless plug, because we haven't done a very, we don't do a very good job, period, of plugging our shit.
No.
But we have a YouTube page. It's called Rantpocalypse. It's brand new. You just go search on YouTube, Rantpocalypse, all
rant,
one word.
Rantpocalypse.
Yes, Rantpocalypse.
Sometimes you have to enunciate.
That's true. I say it pretty fast, but it's a really cool name. It's our it's our cool name. We love it.
Yes.
And it's, yes, Rantpocalypse. Just like it sounds, rant and then apocalypse. Yeah, you just go search for it on YouTube. You may have to like look in the channel sections. So you just can hit the search thing and then filter down to channels, and then it'll pull it up really quickly. But we've been putting our Daredevil recaps up there. It's been a whole lot of fun. Hank and I have been recapping that show. It is just, it's bloody fantastic. It's so damn good. John Bernthal, if you've missed Shane.
And don't we all?
Yeah, don't we all? Because he's amazing. He was an amazing character on the show. He may no longer be Shane Walsh to me.
Oh, really?
He's that good as the Punisher. Actually, he's not. He's no longer Shane Walsh to me. He is the Punisher. Like, it blows my mind how good this dude is. Oh my God. There's one scene where if you're a Walking Dead fan, or if you're just a human being, you're probably going to be bawling. And you're not a human being that leaves the comments on YouTube videos that says, like, I hate you, I hope you die,
you effing
suck.
Who cares about those?
No, I don't care either. I mean, at one point in my life, I did. But then I realized these people are morons.
Yes.
So, but yeah, it's so, so good. But yeah, go check out Rampocalypse. Please hit the subscribe button, you know, like the videos and all that kind of stuff, because we're going to be doing a whole lot more of those. So let's get into our top three, because I know we've been babbling on about a lot of just random stuff.
So would you please ask me the question I asked you to ask me?
What did you want me to ask you?
Are you ready?
Oh, are you ready for the top three?
I most definitely, almost certainly think I'm ready for the top three.
I like that. That was very good.
That was my, you know, obviously my Eugene that I did not really...
That was not very good. I think we're going to have to take two on that. Okay. So, Kelly, are you ready for the top three?
I most definitely, almost certainly think I'm ready for the top three. Is that a little better?
That was good. That deserves a nice clink.
All right. Here we go.
Yes. Very good. Very good.
All right. So, and speaking of Eugene, my number three, Eugene grows a pair and breaks up with Abraham. So, I mean, I loved it. I thought, you know, it takes some balls and some stupidity, really, to break up with Abe. But he lived under his shadow for so long, and Abe really didn't treat him all that well. He may have protected him, but he talked to him like he was an idiot. Well, especially after he found out that he didn't have the cure. you know, that part. Okay, well, that part.
that might factor
into it just a little bit. but it was nice for me to see him, you know, feel strong enough to stand on his own two feet. And I just loved the whole idea of, you know, two dudes breaking up with each other.
Yeah, I'm glad it was a short-lived breakup for these two, because, like you said earlier, they get the best lines. And it's been a long time since we got to see these two together. In an episode, they haven't interacted a whole lot since their last breakup, which was a whole lot violent.
The punch in the face.
Yeah, the punch in the face.
And the nap on the asphalt.
Yeah, that had to be a hot nap, because I think I remember saying that they filmed that in the dead heat of summer, probably.
And what was it was worse for Abe, because he had that squat that he had out there, and he said he sat that way all day long.
Oh yeah, that would suck.
Yeah,
asphalt is not fun. Well, that was my number two as well. That was Abe and Eugene's breakup. I loved all of that. I love the scene when they were coming up to that little manufacturing plant or whatever, and the whole conversation about guard duty, changing up the hairstyle, and how he's stepping his game up and comparing it to the video game. Which I absolutely love the fact that he compared his changes to playing an RPG game, which was mm-hmm. so cool because we love video games and
yes,
you play the crap out of Fallout and you know how it is. You level that character up and, you know, the more you level up, the more badass you become. And then all of a sudden you're hitting, you know, level 100 and you're just decimating all the walkers everywhere. And it was great. I don't know if I'm cutting into your other top threes.
No. I tried this time to pick a variety.
Yes.
Just in case you do your normal.
Busting up your top
yes,
three.
Exactly. So I'm like, okay, I don't want to have to, you know, cuss the kid out this time and have you dub over, I love you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. If ever, if
nobody
ever
caught that, I don't think.
You hear us in the middle of a conversation where I love you, you're the bestest, doesn't fit into the conversation, that's because I've just laid a huge, ugly word.
Exactly, yes.
And so, yeah. We...
I don't know if nobody noticed that or at least they didn't say anything.
it was so odd. So.
Yeah, it was odd. I love the helmet walker whenever he said, pump the brakes, Red. I'm officially calling dibs. And
Dibs is dibs.
Yeah, dibs is dibs. That was great. And then, of course, to me, the ending was the best between the two of them. Whenever Abraham says, congratulations, you made it to stage two. And Eugene was just like, I don't need congratulations. I was already there or something. Right. I've been there for a long time now.
Right.
Something like that. So yeah, those were great scenes between the two of them. I had so much fun watching Abe and Eugene's adventures this week. So yeah, that was my number two.
What is your number three?
My number three, which I was going to pull it up, but I don't remember where I found that, but was the, and how do you pronounce this word again? The apothecary? How do you pronounce it?
Apothecary.
Apothecary. God, I had this written down exactly so I could pronounce it.
I'm so sorry.
So now I sound like an idiot.
Yeah. Well.
Normal. but I love that scene so much. The coloring books that were on the floor, the creepy walls, just the whole decor of this one room that was kind of holed off. I'm guessing it was just a bathroom in this building. It wasn't a bathroom.
I think it was the storage, you know, or and maybe it was just the office
part, right?
I think what it was in my backstory that I created for this is the person owned this apothecary.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, I assumed it was a woman. She brought her child, her little boy, because I just feel like it was a little boy, to work every day. And so that was, you know, there was baby pictures everywhere up by the counter and all that.
Yeah.
And they got trapped there after the zombie apocalypse.
Yes.
Mama had a broken foot. So she wasn't able to get out there and get them away quickly. So, you know, that's why they were holed up in there. Kid was crying a lot. That was why there were so many walkers that had come to the outside and you had all those fingerprints on the outside of the building and so many dead walkers out there. And, you know, finally, you know, shit got bad, really bad. They didn't have food. And Mom said, little fucker. I'm sorry.
Little baby Judith.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I can't feed you anymore. I can't see you be in pain. You're crying because you're hungry. I'm going to drown you. So
do you think that it was a out of love or was it out of like just a moment of like a psychotic spell?
I think it was, to me, I feel like it was more out of love.
You do.
Well, because I feel like the baby, you know, was hungry. I mean, you know, eventually, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Kids be bratty. They want food.
Yes, they want to have nutrition. Yeah. Darn them, kids.
Yeah, I know. And so I think it was more out of love. And then I think the psychotic break came after. And that was why, you know, the hush, hush, hush was written on the wall.
Kind of like in remembrance of the kid.
Well, that and, you know, I mean, you're like, you know, I kind of picture the mom kind of rocking back and forth, you know, hush, 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 you know. So I spent a lot of time thinking about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's why I love this, because to me it's really interesting to think about what these people's lives were like as they were turning into the into the zombies, because we know not everybody on the show gets a backstory. We did get some backstories on walkers in the past with those little webisodes and whatnot, which were really cool. And I wish
I miss
that they
those.
Would that this one would be an absolute perfect webisode to do.
Yes.
It would be uber creepy because this room was just creepy as hell. And yeah, I mean, I want to know. I want to know what happened to this lady in this room, because it was scary as hell. When I watched it the second and third times, I was still creeped the hell out. It's probably one of the creepiest things I've seen on the show. I want to know what happened to the jaw. That's the thing that gets me. That's where I'm like, okay, did she drown the baby? Did she eat the baby? Or did she pull her jaw? Did she break her jaw off so she couldn't eat the baby?
I don't know. That's really interesting, because I didn't even think about the fact that, you know, I mean, obviously the jaw is gone.
Yeah, completely gone.
How do you pull your own jaw off, though?
Really painfully.
Yeah.
Like, that would be probably the most pain.
And, ever. You know, also, you've got a whole pharmacy full of drugs. Why wouldn't you just go ahead and drug your baby to kill it? I mean, because I'm still going to go with the theory that I think that was at one time had been the sink was full of water.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it had ick in it.
It was really gross.
It was really gross. And I feel like, you know, that she had drowned her baby in there. And although, why would you leave it there? Which is, that would be disgusting. That part doesn't go with my story very well.
You're already retracting your story.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, wait, that was a really freaking stupid thing for her to do. But, you know, like, it disintegrated in there. And that was why I felt like that little shoe was in the direction that it was, because it used to be attached to the baby's leg.
Yeah.
So, to me, I would have rather went and got some drugs and let my kid just, you know, quietly go off to sleep.
Or both of us quietly go off to sleep.
Right. And maybe she...
Maybe she did, because I mean, that's not going to, you gotta end the brain.
Right.
There's no more brain function unless the walker's going to come back, unless there's no more brain function. So maybe she did.
I would love to hear Greg Nicotero talk about it, because he would have the answers to all of that.
He would. At future Walker Stalker Con or something. Maybe.
Yeah.
Hopefully. There best be somebody bring that question up, because if not, Guth.
Yeah.
You know, we'll do one question of the panel. We're too chicken shit to do like whole panels.
Exactly. I know.
But we'll come up.
We'll stay, we'll stay down here.
Hey, Greg, in that apothecary scene, what happened there? Bye.
I know. But knowing me, you know, he'll give the actual answer and I'll be like, that's not what happened.
I don't think so.
I know what happened and you're wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Wrong.
I wrote this out. Damn it. This is what happened.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So, my number two is Denise getting killed with an arrow to the head. You know, I mean, which really should be, you'd think having a character like that be killed would be the number one, but it's not. I just feel like it was really impactful to our group for a couple of different reasons. One, she's killed with Darrow's bow, which I think is going to really mess up Daryl's. Fuck you, Justin.
All right, am I going to have to implement, I mean, 33 minutes in.
Write that down.
I love you.
I love you the bestest. I think it's going to affect his decisions in the future. You know, I mean, he felt like he should have killed Dwight, obviously after the fact, but I think that's going to mess him up in the way he reacts to things. And number two, obviously Denise's death leaves us with no doctor, which I think is probably going to impact the group more than anything.
Yeah. I mean, that's a definite impactor right there. Hey, I've got the flu, or I've got whatever, and I have no doctor here.
Yeah.
Not going to be good. Not going to be good, people. Yeah, and we talked about Denise's death, obviously, in the Instacast, because that was probably the biggest thing that happened in the episode, and it was somewhat of a shock. It wasn't really a shock to me because of the stupid spoiling. What are they called?
The spoiling dead?
Fuck them. Mm-hmm. And I apologize.
Yeah.
But man, did they piss me off, because that got put somewhere on Facebook, and you know, normally people are really good. They're like, spoiler alert. Do not read this unless you, want to know exactly what happens in the freaking episode. But no, this was like just right in the news feed. Like, but borderline, right. Hey guys, Denise gets shot in the head with an arrow.
Yeah.
You're welcome. And I wanted to choke them out because it went down exactly like they said it. And it really, really sucked. So it wasn't a complete surprise for me like it would have been, because it definitely would have been a huge surprise for me had I not been spoiled by that, because Abraham's the one that gets the arrow in the eye in the comic books. So this was a big freaking deal to not go that route, because that takes out one of their strongest soldiers in the comic books. They're like, holy shit, Abraham just got taken out by an arrow. And it was a brutal scene.
Oh,
I can't speak.
See? Uh-huh.
Brutal scene.
That's what happens when you make fun of your own mother.
That's what happens when you talk crap. Yep. And of course, in this episode, we had the whole setup with Eugene and Abraham going on a run together. So I was thinking last week, oh, Ginger, he's a goner.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They flipped the script on us in a cool way. I mean, I think it was a twist. There's no doubt about that. I don't think that it was. I don't know if it was one of those twists that it really impacted the show all that much. Like, yes, Merritt Weaver is a good actress, and she was nice to have on the show. But I
think the deal is, again, I think we don't know the impact yet.
Yeah, that's very true. That's fair.
It is sad that it'd be a bummer for me if I'd been on the show for, as long as she has, and people weren't as affected as I thought they should be about me dying.
I guess it's not that I'm not affected. It probably wouldn't, like I said, it would have had more of an impact on me had I not been spoiled, so I was kind of prepared for it, but... You're probably right. I think more people are annoyed, and that's on the writers, because her death was super impactful. Like, that one scene was very impactful. The fact that she's sitting there giving them this speech about that they've kind of got to put their shit behind them and realize how good they've got it going for them,
mm-hmm.
and then she gets shot in the head as she's giving that speech. There's no doubt about it, like that scene moves you in the episode. But I think it's all the stuff before it that kind of annoys you.
Right.
And that to me was the sloppy writing in this episode, where they were,
man, that is an ugly word.
I know. Well, they were moving so fast with everything else that they've done in the previous episodes, and they knew in this episode, okay, we've got everything that we've planned out. It's been great. We've only got two episodes left, and I felt like that this is the problem. I think they hampered themselves from the get-go with the whole introducing Negan so soon, in the sense of like, hey, we've cast Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Negan. He's going to be in this season. Because to me, I would have been perfectly fine. It might not have been as impactful, in the finale or whatnot, if we weren't to get the reveal of Negan in the finale. I mean, everybody's going to go Abe shit, but just think about it. If they would have taken their time in this episode, like I think that they needed to, then it wouldn't have felt so rushed in the beginning, right? Does that make sense, or am I not making any sense now? Because I've probably talked myself out of making sense.
You talked me out of you making sense, yes.
Well, basically, all I'm trying to say is that, to me, Denise's death, it only served to basically get us to the point that Negan is introduced. And that's all it did. And I think that that's where I didn't like the death as much. I mean, I get it. I get why what it served and the purpose of the story. But I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, I feel like there's a part of me that feels like they did it just to kill a character.
Because think about it this way. Had they not killed Denise and the group just made it, let's just say they made it back. Denise, Daryl, and Rosita, they made it back.
Rosita.
Yes, Rosita made it back.
Uh-huh.
But they still capture Eugene. And then, I just think this whole episode could have been a lot quicker and we could have got more storyline in it. I get what we got, and I understand it. Like, we got the story of Denise. They gave her her episode before they killed her off, which is what they always do.
Of course.
they have their moment in the sun.
As soon as she started talking about her family, that her parents were drunks and that she had a twin brother, and I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah, once the lower level characters get some spotlight,
mm-hmm. Yeah, if she would have had
they're damned.
A red shirt on, then I for sure that's a Star Trek thing.
Oh, I was like, what are you even talking about?
Yeah, sorry.
I don't know. Sorry, you lost me.
On Star Trek, all the red shirt characters always were the ones that got killed.
Oh, they always get killed?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to dwell on this much longer. I'm sorry. But there's a little bit of letdown for me in how everything played out. But I know, that being said, that next week's episode and the finale are going to blow me away.
Yeah.
And it'll be okay. It's just, I don't know. Sometimes I definitely feel like they're ramping it up so much to get to Negan, that they forget that there's so many other things out there in the world that are scary, which I understand the big villain is important for a show. You know, you want to have somebody to root against. And, I think that's why Game of Thrones has worked so well for so long, is you have so many people to root against. Just got an endless group of assholes
yes,
to root against.
Yes. Who do you root for?
Yeah, I mean, I think Game of Thrones, one of their bigger problems is, unlike The Walking Dead, they kill off all their heroes.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of their major issues. And in The Walking Dead, they've definitely been a little bit more hesitant lately to kill off of any of our main characters, for sure. I guess Beth was a main character. Sort of, not really. Mm. Who else has died? Tyrese
yeah.
died.
Yeah, Tyrese.
But again, I don't even think, considering his level in the comic books, he wasn't that main of a character in the show.
No.
I'm thinking really hard. Who am I missing? You know, Bob. I mean, I know people that died. Bob died, of course.
Right, but he
wasn't really that integral to the main story. I freaking love Bob. I thought he was great. I wanted him to stay around. So really, the last one is Herschel, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the last, like, right. Truly super duper impactful. I mean,
make you just cry and cry and cry.
Yeah, I mean, Beth's death obviously was very sad. I mean, I think Beth's hot and everything, but yeah. But as far as the emotional weight that she carried, to me, wasn't on the level of a Herschel.
Oh, so, God, no.
But I think when you really grill it down, Herschel's probably been the only one, right? Shane to me as well, but I think I get blinders on because of how much I love John Bernthal.
Oh, and I'm just gonna tell you right now who was a biggie. Dale.
To me, Dale wasn't even that
Please,
big
whatever.
Of a... He was super sad. It was super emotional. But I don't know. I guess that one I get jaded because of how much I love Dale in the comic books and how little he got to do on the show compared to his role in the comic books. I mean, dude was getting it on with Andrea in the comic books.
Yeah.
You had the good life in the comic books. He had the shit life in the show.
Yeah.
He was the old creeper guy that had to stay out there in his freaking van, his RV, a mile down the road from the freaking farm.
So Dale... Andrea, Lori.
Lori's death Boom. That was a good one. That was super high up there.
I mean, that was just insane.
Gut-wrenching.
Yes. So, I mean, Andrea, I didn't even like the way they killed her, honestly. No. It just didn't, you know. And besides
that, we're
going to
let this dude, what was his name?
Oh, my God.
I know I'm blanking on his name.
Oh, that's
obvious. Dallas is his real name.
Yeah.
Milton. Yeah, I was like Merle, Milton.
Yeah,
something.
Oh my God, I'm just so embarrassed.
Yeah, no, God, fake fans.
Exactly. Yeah, I did. You know, it's like she was supposed to be a badass. She should have went ahead and, you know, took the bait. Dude was obviously dying.
Yeah.
So anyway,
was another waste right there.
Yes, it was. I mean, and that, why is that, that we have these really amazing characters in the comic book that, you know, we have some amazing characters on this show, but unfortunately they don't seem to always be the same ones. You know, why don't they translate from paper to, you know, to camera?
Well, they certainly have been doing a better job. I mean, think about it recently.
Oh, Aaron, Scott Gimple has done just a fantastic job.
Yeah, for me, I think, oh man, I'm blanking on everybody's name right now. Frank Darabont.
Mm-hmm.
I think Frank Darabont was just an amazing, you know, writer, showrunner, because his characters, I mean, hell, most of them weren't in the comic books. I mean, think about it. That season one, some of the more prominent characters, I mean, you had T-Dog, not in the comic books. You had Merle, not in the comic books. So, I mean, they had some different characters that he was working with that first couple of seasons. And then the other guy that came on after him, I can never remember his name. He wasn't around for very long. He picked up when Darabont left off in
season Mazzara?
Two. Glenn Mazzara, yeah. But lately, I think they've been killing it. Jesus was fantastic. Aaron has been fantastic. Thinking along, I mean, obviously to me, Abraham and Eugene have been, and Rosita have been spot on. Like they are like true to life, exactly what I imagined from the comic books. So, and especially Eugene, even more so lately. Like lately, he's been really on lately. So, or Josh McDermott. And by the way, he was phenomenal on The Talking Dead.
So amazing. And it was funny because I was watching The Talking Dead. And once again, you know, you see this dude that is just effervescent. The way to describe him. And he doesn't even look like Eugene.
No, he definitely doesn't. That was whenever I was originally doing my top three for this episode, I said Josh McDermott on The Talking Dead. Does that count?
Yeah, I mean, it's just he's so cute. He's so cute.
Yes,
and Eugene,
so cute.
Shut up. Eugene is not. But Josh McDermott is.
Well,
so
I think that's the way that Eugene's character is written.
I
think that you're gonna, you know, you're gonna change that tune.
No, I'm
here
just
pretty soon.
What I'm saying is, I think he's an amazing actor to just be able to the way he drops his face to make his, you know, I mean, it's just that
looks like droopy from that.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So anyway, I was thinking about that too, because.
Yeah, no, he was great on The Talking Dead.
Yes.
Week. Oh man, he was.
He should be on there every week.
He should. He absolutely killed it. He has so much charisma on the show. Him and Ross Marquand, like.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see like just a comedy show between those two.
Yeah.
And actually, it doesn't have to be a TV show or anything. Like literally, just
a follow
podcast.
Them around.
It could be whatever it is. Their YouTube channel together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't care whatever it is. I would subscribe to it because they are both. Really, really good on The Talking Dead. The teacher guy, I thought he did a good job too.
He was great.
Yeah, he was really good.
They had a perfect choice.
Yeah, I think they did well as well. So well as well, they did
well,
well
as well.
As well.
All right, they did well as well. Okay, so and
number
it's
one.
Is it number one? Carol leaves, and you know, obviously she left because she couldn't kill people anymore. But this is kind of my questions. About that.
Yeah.
You know, she leaves. That does create a hole in the group because she's a badass warrior. I mean, she's a very important part of protecting our group. And I guess it's a, you know, way for the writers to kind of to split the group up so that someone can go search for her and have troubles. Because, I mean, we saw that in the, you know, in the previews for next week, possibly that Daryl goes after her.
The more I thought about that, though,
yeah,
the more I don't think that he's going after her. I think he's going after Dwight.
That could very well be.
You know, because we talked about how Denise getting killed with his bow and arrow is going to affect him. Not only that, but just the fact that he had that conversation with Carol early in this episode of, I should have killed their ass.
Mm-hmm.
And Dwight affirms it. You probably should have done that. So, yes, I think that he has this strong bond with Carol. But I think that he also respects Carol. And he already went after her one time. You know, we saw him do that whenever she was trying to leave the group in season 4.
Right.
And that's when they, you know, they ran off after trying to find Beth and everything because they saw that car. And I think, I feel like he's going to respect her this time, but that doesn't mean that he's not going to go out there and try to take out all these other dudes so that way she doesn't run into trouble. So in some form or fashion, he's actually somewhat going after Carol, but it's more directed towards the people that could potentially hurt Carol.
And I know it wouldn't happen. If it did, I would be very annoyed.
Yeah.
But I'm almost, I don't know how it could not happen. And that is, you know, she came to the rescue at Terminus.
Yes.
When she sees everybody in trouble. So we know there's going to be trouble. How far do you think Carol is actually going to, when she leaves, how far away do you think she's going to go?
I still don't think she's going to get very far because I think she's going to get snatched up. For me, she's getting caught by the saviors.
Let me ask you this also.
Yeah.
We're assuming that Dwight and his gang are still part of the saviors.
Yes.
He says something in his speech when, you know, they've got Eugene and he says, this is not the way we normally like to begin
a working relationship,
yeah.
Basically a business relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you have the quote? Because I have one, or I have it from that part.
I don't have it.
Yeah, because that was my number one, just the revelation that he knows where Alexandria is.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, because he says, we try to start with one, you know, maximum impact to get our point across. I don't know if that's the quote that you were going for, but for me, that was one of my, I mean, just the whole Dwight knowing where Alexandria is, that means the saviors now know where Alexandria is. I think that for me, that was my number one in this episode, simply because of just the gravity of the situation now, the fact that the saviors are coming.
Right.
Not good.
Yeah, and one of the things that they tried to show in this episode was obviously that, you know, days keep going past and you know, life has the sameness and they've fallen into their routine. You know, life is really pretty good.
Carol didn't tell him it was Primo.
God.
Sorry. Jeez, not gonna.
I know. I know. Dumb move. Yeah. Why would you not? Why? How would that not be? As soon as Rick blows his head off.
Yeah.
How would that not be? Oh shit,
oops.
Dude. That wasn't Negan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's. I don't know how that's not the first thing. I did want to bring up a comment that Tammy had from our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. It's The Walking Naked on Facebook. You can go find us there. And it is talking about Carol and Denise as well. But she said that Dwight's showing back up and killing Dr. Denise and Carol's meltdown are connected thematically. What is the moral code in the zombie apocalypse where the number one imperative is JSS? And if you forget what that is, just survive somehow. You have Carol who's saying, I can't kill anymore. I know it's necessary, but I can't. In that way, I was wrong to make this about Morgan. This is more about Carol's soul. She's protecting them because she is choosing to stop. So the conversation with Daryl, even before Dr. Denise was murdered, is her thought process and our group's dilemma. This episode stood for the fact that preemptive killing is optimal. It alone justified the group's acts two episodes ago and Maggie's insistence that they finish it last episode, which did bring up a point about Dwight when within that conversation, because he said, you know, you guys kind of set the table for us on how we're going to do our business transactions going forward. The fact that we're going to kill before we talk. So that was really messed up. And Tammy also goes on to say, she said, I thought about it. If we follow this reasoning to its end, they'll have to kill every human they meet and then they will be evil. So the sad bottom line is if they stay human, there will be losses because they're going to be trusting people like Dwight. They're going to be trusting people like Gareth, the governor, so on and so forth, Negan. And I told Tammy, which is a very interesting thing about this and having watched Daredevil right now, mm-hmm. without spoiling anything of Daredevil, but as far as the themes of Daredevil season two, it's all about, you know, which basically which brand is, I guess, the best way to go about things. Like, do you kill people because that's going to stop their actions? That's going to save lives because you're killing that person. Or do you save lives with quotation marks around it because you do not kill that evil person, but you hope that they're going to get redemption and become a better person, kind of like how Morgan believes that people will become. So all very interesting things to think about when it comes to Carol especially and just how our group's actions have been over the course of the last couple of episodes.
Yeah, and we've discussed this quite a bit as far as feeling like we have become the bad guys.
Yes.
I get that we have to be. We have to be the bad guys.
You have to be smart. I don't know if that, you know, sometimes being smart does equal being the villain.
Right.
Or the evil one, I guess, however you want to say it.
I guess it's the fact that, you know, for our group to look at themselves as still good people, and that's not possible anymore.
Not really. I mean, they can obviously band together and fight off the evil to come, but they also kind of have to know in the back of their minds that they created this in some form or fashion.
Right. Now,
I don't think that, you know, obviously I think that the saviors were not going around handing out candied apples to people when they met them and being like, hey, let's trade stuff. You got stuff. I got stuff. Let's trade.
Right. You know, it was going to come down to a showdown anyway.
Yes.
With those kind of people, you know, eventually you're going to have to fight it out. Do you fight it out now or later?
Yeah. It's just interesting that the route that they chose, the path that they chose, may have directly led to what's to come, you know, because whenever they do run into Negan, if it wasn't for their actions, it, not saying that anything bad wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. Well,
but
he would have
set it up a little bit better for negotiations.
Right. He would have killed just one of them because that's what he does. You know, we take out one, you know, to send a message.
Yeah.
Now, you know, odds are he's going to probably want to make that be a big one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's going to hurt.
I love that about this show, that we can get into these, you know, philosophical discussions
Yeah.
You know, which came first, the chicken or the egg, basically.
Yeah. I mean, you can definitely simplify it down for sure, and that's what's cool about it. And that's why I'm telling everybody to watch The Punisher Season 2, because...
You mean Daredevil Season 2.
Oh, no, it's, yeah. Excuse me. I'm thinking ahead. You know, Punisher's so damn good in it. Yes, Daredevil Season 2. I love Daredevil as well. I love The Punisher. I love Daredevil. I love Elektra. I love Karen. I love Foggy. Everybody else in the show.
Yeah, I'm still on Season 1.
Yeah, well, get to Season 2, it's mind-blowing how it's paralleling all the, you know, the decision-making that's going on in the back half of Season 6. It's so cool to see. So it's been a lot of fun comparing the two, especially when you think about Jon Bernthal in that show, and it's like, damn, he could have been badass in The Walking Dead had he not tried to kill Rick.
I know.
God, they would have made it. We talked about the dynamic duos a couple of weeks ago. Rick and Shane would have been the unbeatable duo. And imagine had Shane made it through and they never had their fights. They never had, maybe they had a little bit of a scuffle, but then they worked it out and Rick realized, hey, he loved Lori just as much as I love Lori. You know,
and he did.
And the fact that, you know, he was trying to be there for her.
He was protecting her, and he felt like he was better at it.
Exactly. Well, minus all the better at it stuff. But just to think that, you know, sometimes friends, they have that. You know, a lot of times you see it too. Like, you know, say a couple, they've been married together for 40 years or something, and the husband or the wife dies, and the mutual friends that they had, and one of their husbands or wife dies.
Right.
And those two individuals that are still living come together later in life, and they realize this isn't weird at all. This is just normal. We've been friends for life, you know, for our whole lives. And so, but imagine had that happened and Shane and Rick had become the dynamic duo, and then Negan bashed Shane's head in.
Oh my God.
Imagine how gut-wrenching that would have been. I would have probably thrown up.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you would have had all those great scenes of them being a cop together and just joking. Yeah,
fathering a baby together.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What was that? My Two Dads or something like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, man. It would have been, that would have just been the ultimate, just a. I wonder if sometimes Robert Kirkman thinks about that. Like, damn, imagine how just, people would have rioted.
Yeah.
People would have ripped that comic book in half had that have happened.
Because there's nobody left for Rick that could have that kind of impact. I mean, obviously Carl, I mean, your kid, everybody that his people, if Lori would have lived, that would be a big one.
Yeah.
But no, I see exactly what you mean. That would have been huge.
Yeah.
So can we go back and change?
I think we'll have to create an edit or something.
Yeah.
Somebody that's super good.
You always say that.
I know. I say it every week. I'm just like, you know, we think of these, we need an editor. If you are a video editor out there and you want to work with us, just email us. It's thewalkingnaked@gmail.com because we will take you and we will pay you in love.
Yeah, exactly. We will pay you in love.
And maybe the occasional booze drink.
Yes.
So,
okay. Let me just say, I had one bonus one that I had to throw out there real quick, just because it definitely needs an honorable mention. And that was the huge leap in maturity that Abe made in this episode, from actually taking the time to apologize to Eugene instead of telling him, you know, F you, asshole, I'm not apologizing to you. And to, you know, humbly showing up at Sasha's doorstep to romance her like a, you know, a grown up in love. He became a man, a fiery, ginger-headed man in this this episode. So I just thought, you know, we had to mention that because
that was a big leap
for him.
It was great. And even before that, to me, whenever he acknowledged Rosita, it was just a split second whenever Rosita saved him. I think in that moment he realized that he fucked up. That was not the way it should have went down. The way that he ended things with Rosita. So, yeah. You know, I like
she
to think that
she could have very easily been like, "Oh, sorry.
Rosita didn't shoot him." I like that moment, and I like to think that, you know, off-screen in the world of Alexandria, he went to Rosita and apologized, because he should have, because Rosita is gorgeous, she's sexy, and she's a badass.
Yeah, she's just amazing.
Yeah, and you best apologize, Abe. I know Sasha, you know, she's just as badass and everything too.
She is, but I just don't feel any chemistry there. None.
No, I do. I do.
Do you?
Oh yeah. I feel the chemistry there.
All right, good.
Man, I had a really good point that I was gonna make about that chemistry, but I have completely forgot it.
It
was good. That was it. That was a good point. Solid point. It good.
Yeah, you get there points.
yeah.
You get the star next to your name for just coming up with it, even though we never heard it.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that wraps up our full thoughts on the episode. Again, we really want to implore everybody that listens to this podcast to go to Rantpocalypse on YouTube. We're going to be putting up our death predictions for the season 6 finale. We're going to be recording that here right after this. So we want you to watch these videos, even though we are going to post them on Facebook as well. But I know not everybody that listens to our podcast actually follows us on Facebook. So wherever you want to get them, you can either follow us on Facebook and get them, or you can subscribe to our YouTube page.
Just get them.
Yes, just get them. We want to see you. Want to hear your comments, your feedback, your thoughts. Everything. We want to hear all about your life.
Oh, and I do want to say the one that you did for last week. What was it? Our top three? Was it this week?
It was this week.
Oh my God.
This is the third time we've talked about this episode.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I just want to say you did an excellent job of putting that together.
Appreciate it.
Super good job. I loved it.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad somebody loved it. We even had a few people on Facebook said that they really enjoyed it. I'm glad that people did. Next week's is going to be a little bit late. We're still going to do it next week as well. We'll have our our instant cast on Sunday night like we always do.
Maybe.
We're doing it.
We'll see.
I'm going to Chicago on Sunday, people. That's why we're going back and forth. But we're doing it. I'm taking my computer. I'm taking my microphone. I'm hoping that we'll just say that right now we're planning to have our instant cast Sunday night. I'm crossing fingers. But the instant or the top three video probably won't be up till later that week until I get back. So, but it'll be there, and you'll love it. Hopefully,
yeah, you will.
So, all right. Well, I think that's it. You can go follow us on Twitter. It's The Walking Naked, Facebook, The Walking Naked, all those things. Hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we will see you guys for episode 15.
Have a lovely rest of your week. And I always start waving. I'm waving right now.
Is it a slow
literally
wave?
Seriously, it's a medium wave. Okay, now it's slow.
Now it's just creepy.
I don't know if you were still there, so I'm still waving too, and I'm like, oh my God, is no one waving back? This is just too weird.
They're all waving back.
Okay, awesome. Bye. I need dollars.